Greetings again, friends and neighbors. Whoever you are, we're walking together. We have formed a community. Amen. Walking through 24 stories with Jesus, and we're up to story 11. And it's Monday. So it's a good start to the week because now we come to Jesus and John the Baptist. Jesus and John the Baptist. Perhaps John the Baptist not given enough credit. Some people think he's overrated. Perhaps not enough credit given how long his story runs through the New Testament. Anyway, let's begin. We'll begin the story today. It's Jesus story 11, and then we'll continue it tomorrow and see how we progress. Jesus and John the Baptist. After he had ended all his sayings on the mountain, Jesus entered into the city of Capernaum. Now a certain centurion was there, a Roman captain of over 100 soldiers, who had a faithful bondservant of whom he was exceedingly fond. He was little more than a youth, this servant, but he lay ill with palsy to the point of death. When the centurion heard of Jesus and discovered that he was in Capernaum, even now, he went to some of the elders of the Jews and asked them for their help. He was hesitant to approach the healer himself, for he was a humble man, even though a captain of men. "My servant lies at home, sick of the palsy and grievously tormented," the centurion told the elders. "I beg you, go to the healer Jesus and beseech him to come and save my servant." The elders went at once to seek out Jesus and earnestly requested him to go with them and heal the centurion's young servant. "This Roman is a worthy man," they said. "He is deserving of help, for he loves our nation and he has himself built us our synagogue." Jesus turned and went with them. When he was not very far from the house, the centurion sent friends out to him with a message. "Lord, do not trouble yourself," his message said, "for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Neither did I think myself worthy to come to you, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." When Jesus heard these words, he marveled greatly. He turned to those who had followed him to the house and said, "I say to you, I have not found such faith in all of Israel. No, not among the Jews, as this Roman has shown." And to the centurion's friends, he said, "Go your way. As the man has believed, so shall it be done." And when those who had been sent to speak to Jesus went back into the house, they found the servant cured of his sickness. On the day after that, Jesus went into another city called Nain. Many of his disciples and other people followed him. When he came near to the gate of the city, Jesus and his disciples saw a funeral procession winding slowly toward them. And in the midst of it was the dead man being carried from the city in his coffin. The man was young, too young to have to die, and he was the only son of his mother, who was a widow. The woman wept and mourned, and there were many people of the city with her as she walked along in sorrow. The two groups met at the gate of Nain, the mourners with their bier, and Jesus with his followers. Jesus looked at the woman. Her tears were bitter, for all she loved had been taken from her, and she mourned with all the sorrow of her heart. When Jesus saw her grief, he felt a deep compassion for her. "Do not weep," he said to her. Jesus went up and touched the bier. The bearers stopped and stood still with their burden, while this gentle stranger looked down at the dead face. "Young man, I say to you, arise," he said. And the young man, who had been dead, sat up and began to speak. The widow woman ran to her son with tears upon her cheeks that now were tears of joy, for Jesus had given her back her only child. The cries of sorrow from those in the procession turned to cries of amazement and fear. Those who had seen what Jesus had done praised God and glorified him, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has visited his people." And this rumor about Jesus spread throughout all the region, which was southern Galilee, and throughout all Judea. Jesus continued with his work in that part of Galilee, preaching his message of salvation and healing the sick, until word of his wonders reached the disciples of John. They went to him and told him all these things. Now John was still in Herod's prison, but the king on occasion permitted him to be visited by his friends. When the Baptist heard in prison about the works of Jesus, he could not keep from thinking about his own plight. If it was indeed true that Jesus could do the marvelous things that were rumored of him, why did he not use his powers to free John? And although Jesus had referred to himself as the Son of Man and the Son of God, he had never said directly that he was the Christ. Was he or was he not the long-awaited Messiah and King of the Jews? Alone in prison, John's faith wavered. He had been the first to acknowledge Jesus as the Anointed One, but now he felt within himself a small doubt. John thought long about these things, and at last he sent for two of his disciples. "Go to Jesus," he said to them. "Ask him this: are you he that is promised, or do we look for another?" They went at once to Jesus with the questions John had instructed them to ask. Jesus understood at once that John had need of reassurance, yet he could not announce himself directly as the Messiah, for then not only the priests and Pharisees, but Herod himself would have reason to condemn him. And for the same reason, he could not use his powers to free John. He still had work to do and little enough time in which to do it. Nevertheless, he must send a message to John that would convince him that the Messiah has indeed come. While John's disciples watched, Jesus cured many people of their illnesses, many of evil spirits, and to many that were blind, he gave their sight. John's disciples saw lepers becoming clean and saw cripples walk away, and they heard the gentle words that Jesus spoke. Eventually, Jesus turned again to them. "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard," he said. "Tell him how the blind receive their sight, how the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed, how the deaf hear and the dead are raised, how the poor are being preached the good tidings of the kingdom of God." Jesus knew that John would understand from these things that he truly was the Messiah, for they both knew the words of Isaiah concerning the one who was to come. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, God himself with a just reward. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. By these words would John be answered. Jesus sorrowed for his plight, but there was nothing he could do except send him that message. And Jesus knew that John had more need for reassurance about the Messiah than he had desire to be helped by miracles himself. Say this also to him, Jesus said to John's disciples. Say, blessed is he who never doubts me. And we'll conclude today's story right there, Jesus and John the Baptist, part one. That great litany that we just ended with was from the book of Isaiah, by the way, if you didn't catch that. Wonderful. We'll pick it up right here tomorrow. Have a blessed Monday, and look forward to talking to you tomorrow.